Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Langer, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Trey Brower. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Brian, I feel like I'm at a bar here. All this cigarette smell?
I apologize, Frank.
Yeah, we had some prolific.
You're talking
users.
Three seasoned veterans in the cigarette game, so you're really right in the middle of that cloud, too. You're in a bad spot.
Isn't that special? Wow. Holy cow. All right. So much to discuss today. Got a good one lined up for you. We're going to talk with Tremaine Isabel, the MVP of the Atlantic 10 tournament. He's going to join us at 11:15. Martin will be here at 11. And then at 10:35, we thought we'd get a little insight. We're going to talk it over with John Lazor. He's the Virginia Tech basketball play-by-play broadcaster. We're going to find out a lot about the Hokies between now and Friday. Those times will come out today at about 2, 3 o'clock, I imagine?
No, the Sluice play in the late game Friday.
It's official.
Yeah, they came out yesterday.
Okay, so what time is that game?
Let me double check the timing real quick. Friday night, I think it's like, I guess it depends on what time the first game in that block ends, but it's scheduled to begin at 8:57.
Wow.
Live in San Jose.
8:57.
The game before it is Liberty and Mississippi State, so they have about a 2.5 hour window to get that game done.
All right, can I tell you about the biggest dilemma of my life?
You're going on vacation, aren't you?
Pardon me?
Going to San Jose?
Yeah, well, no. Well, it's all kind of tied in. So, look, let's face it. A couple of, 4 weeks ago, we didn't think this was going to happen. And we got opening day looming, and we have the Blues possibly, going to be in the playoffs. So, Monique said, I got a few days. Why don't we go? So we booked this little trip, and we're supposed to leave on Friday morning. And so then this happens this weekend. And so I can't tell Monique anything here. So I called the travel agent about an hour ago, and I said, is there any chance we could push that trip back a couple of days and then, like, leave on Monday? And because I want to be able to tell Monique, hey, good news, we're going to go, but it's just a few days later. Because if I were to say, hey, no, I can't go, I'm going to San Jose, she'd be calling Brown and Brown or Brown and Crouppen or whatever those attorneys are.
So, of course, you say that, but then, hey, good news, we're leaving Monday instead of Friday, and then Slew has the weekend of a lifetime and goes into the regional semifinal next week.
So... Now, the other thing is the Channel 5 has to cooperate here. And I want them to because we need to be there. But so we're checking flights last night, and the cheapest flight, round trip, St. Louis, San Jose, $900.
Yeah, San Jose I don't think is a very easy city to get to.
Who would want to go there?
Right, I think that's...
Who would wake up one day if the Billikens weren't playing, I'd like to go to San Jose and spend $900.
Right, like no offense to the city of San Jose, but if you were to do a hierarchy of California cities you want to fly to, it would be pretty low.
Yeah. So, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to push hard for us to go and then see what happens with Monique. It's scary. And then, so I will say this. This is a true story. Reading the paper, 6:30 in the morning with the hot tub on. And Monique walks out, and she comes out, and she says, we are going to Mexico, aren't we? And I just kind of nodded, and then she walked away.
No, we're going to go. Time frame, Undetermined.
Yeah. I think she knows there's a lot of twisting going on in my stomach right now. I don't know. All right. So let's begin with the opening monologue. It's brought to you by our great friends at Gateway Motorsports Park. And let's begin with lap one. Before we get to the magnitude of what they just did, let's discuss the actual game and the actual tournament. They are such a unique team. Skill level, you know, compared to other, you know, teams in the NCAA tournament, maybe a 4. Heart, probably a 10. Toughness, probably an 11. It's like their best offense sometimes is a missed shot. Yeah, go throw it on the backboard and go watch Jordan Goodwin get a rebound and a putback. Goodwin or French or Foreman will end up with a putback. I just admire Jordan Goodwin. Okay, he can't shoot free throws. Enough. All right, we know that. Do you know how many college basketball guards ever have a line like that yesterday? 16 points and 14 rebounds. Ever? I don't know where he comes from on some of these offensive rebounds. He just pops up out of nowhere and then grabs it and puts it back in. Tremaine Isabel, who's going to be with us in about an hour, told us at practice, you know, I've never played an NCAA tourney. That's the only thing I want. I thought to myself, boy, I feel for you, son. He said that to us last week. And now he's there. What did he do? He goes out and wins the MVP of the tournament. Yesterday, when he didn't score as well, he distributes and he defends. Javon Best, he has that magical shooting day Saturday, then toughens it out on Sunday. Hassan French ignited the 12-0 spurt. DJ Foreman was blocking shots and finishing. And even Deion Wiley. I've been talking about him all year long. That this is the guy, like, when I go to practice and I see these guys shoot, and even with just managers throwing the ball out to them, and it's 3 o'clock with no pressure, they miss and miss and miss. But every time I watch Deion Wiley, he makes and makes and makes. He won a couple of games earlier for them this season with his shooting, but he hasn't moved well all season long. He's just hurt. He's not in great shape. But you know what he is? He's a professional shooter who unleashed some big-time threes yesterday. I mean, if he doesn't make those 2 threes, they are not in the NCAA tournament, I don't think. He was given a scholarship for one reason and knocked down shots. And God bless Jim Sponarkle, the Duke former Duke guard who was on the broadcast yesterday. He's saying, I don't know what Wiley's doing shooting these shots. Jim, that's what he's there for. He's a shooter. So let's listen to how it sounded at the end of the game against St. Bonaventure.
10 seconds left. Lofton lost the ball. Scoops it up with 7 seconds. Lofton with his team down by 2 to the corner. Caputo! No good! And it's over! St. Louis is going dancing! An unlikely run to the NCAA tournament for the Billikens as they win the Atlantic 10 championship.
How about the euphoria of that pile-on with the players? The coach even jumped in. It's going to be the most enduring image of the Billikens season. Travis Ford jumping into the pile. He told us last night at the airport that he thinks he may have pulled a muscle doing it. Here's Travis after the game.
First, we took over a program 3 years ago that was dead last. We were picked dead last 3 years ago. And this group of guys, I told them before the game, we all came from different areas and for different reasons. We wound up here for different reasons, a lot of different transfers or whatever it may be. But we are here for a reason tonight. Second half rebounding. That's the definition of our team. If we rebound, we'll win. When we rebounded the second half and defended.
Lap 2. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. The importance of it. They are an NCAA team. He did inherit a mess. Back-to-back 21 loss seasons, and 3 years later, he's in the tourney. They were picked to finish dead last 3 years ago, as he mentioned, and then Travis started assembling talent. Javon and DJ as transfers. Corey Tate worked hard to get Jordan Goodwin and later Fred Thatch. And then the one-year guys, Isabel and Wiley. A lot of adversity. The trouble at the party that wiped out 3 really good guards. They took a chance on Cartier Gordon. They thought they could save him, be the one team that Cartier played on where it worked out. No, it didn't work out. So those 4 games in a row in late January where they lost them all, that's when everybody thought, well, it's just not going to be their year. And then they win 4 games in a row in March and they're dancing. There are a lot of bashers of this program, and I can't understand those people. I really can't, including some on the airwaves here at 590 The Fan, who said the season was a failure. They said it after victory number 21.
Now it's 23 victories in an NCAA tournament. Oh, now they say they didn't beat anybody. Well, Dayton's been in four tourneys in the last 6 years. Davidson had a terrific season, and St. Bonaventure won a game in the NCAA tournament last year. Nobody is saying SLU is Duke. Nobody is saying that SLU is Virginia. But they're pretty good. 23 wins with a decent schedule. Where are they now? Well, it's a program with legs. And that leads us to lap three. What a weekend for SLU basketball. Terrence Hargrove Jr., who was in studio with us last night, leads East St. Louis to their first ever state basketball championship. That's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? It was Lincoln who was winning all those titles in a row. Three in a row. With LaFonso and Conzo. So you know what Hargrove does this weekend? He goes 13 of 24 from the floor. He scores 32 and 10 rebounds with three blocks, and he altered five others in the state championship game. He put it on the floor and beat people off the dribble, and then he hit some shots. Maurice Scott said he was the best player in the tourney. Then there's Yuri Collins. He injured his leg and missed a quarter in the semifinals, and he still scored 21. And then he comes back and scores 34 with four rebounds and four assists in the finals on that bad leg. He had a knee-to-knee collision, and he wasn't quite the same. The man scored 30 every game in the postseason, with the exception of the semis when he missed that quarter. These guys are coming to SLU. They're going to be playing with Thatch and Goodwin and Hassan French and Jimerson and Devontae Perkins. Well, I tell you what, folks, SLU's on time. Third year's when you go, and they're going. They have made their leap. Now they got to stay there. And with this recruiting, I think they just may. Lap four. The Blues. So you lose to the worst team in hockey, and then you beat one of the best teams in hockey. Then you lose to the second worst team in hockey and get a point. But you got to get 2 points against the Buffalo Sabres.
Well, he was in the Buffalo uniform, would have been all cheers. But now we'll see how he makes out with this. He comes in and takes a backhand, and off goes wide, and Buffalo wins it.
Obviously, it wasn't good. Yeah, we lost. It's disappointing. We did not play a very good game. You know, we played down to, you know, just not our best. Not our best effort. And, yeah, just weird. We weren't clean with our way we move the puck usually, and it's tough because that's a game we usually could have won if we just stuck to our game. And starts with myself too, being better and leading that charge, but that's a tough one.
One of those games, it wasn't very clean all game. It was a tough grind out there. We didn't execute very well, and give them credit, they played hard. It was it's a big game, and it's a big game for us too, but we just didn't execute very well, and our puck play wasn't very good. We turned a lot of pucks over, and they had the puck more than us.
Carter Hutton stopping Ryan O'Reilly when it went to penalty shots to win it. All right, so let me tell you what's good, though. Some variety of guys are actually scoring now. Pat Maroon has played much better, 3 points in 2 games, and he has scored a goal in each of those 2 games. David Perron had a goal yesterday. They need 2 things to be right when the playoffs begin. Jordan Binnington having his mojo back and making 40 saves against the Pittsburgh Penguins just may do that. And then that first line back. Maybe you get one more line really productive. I mean, you know you're going to get scoring from the defense. That Vince Dunn. How about that guy? Vince Dunn. He entered the season with 5 career goals and he's got 11 this season. Jaden Schwartz entered the season with 113 goals, and he has 7 this season. Anybody have Vince Dunn with 4 more goals than Jaden Schwartz this year? It's not like Schwartz has lost his skill, though. He still, has talent. He still is young. Maybe he finds it before the end of this season. Maybe he finds it in the postseason. All right, lap 5. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. Cardinal thoughts. Yesterday was the 2019 spring training season in a nutshell. Not much hitting, a loss, and good pitching. They did not get a hit until Dexter Fowler singled in the ninth inning. And then Paul Goldschmidt knocked him in with a hit and an error. Story yesterday, I think, was John Gant, four innings, one run. Looked good. However, I heard John Mozeliak with Mike Kelly, and it seemed like Mo was gushing about Dakota Hudson. So I think he's going to be the fifth starter. We'll see. Interesting day for Nolan Gorman on Saturday. He struck out three times and he made two errors, but he hit a home run. He's 18 years old and he hit a home run in a Major League spring training game. Last year he hit 17 of them and he slugged 570 in 63 games. And he wasn't 18 the whole time. He's not close, but I would not forget that name. He's going to hit home runs in Busch Stadium one day. You wait. All right, lap six. Quick thought. The best basketball player our town has ever produced, I believe, is JoJo White. Seven All-Star games, two World Championships, and he averaged 17 a game. Best career. But I'm wondering, before it's all said and done, will it be Brad Beal? He had another 40-point game on Saturday. He's just 25. He's averaging 26 with a career average of 20. Before it's all said and done, I think it may be Brad Beal. But you got to get him out of Washington, though. Get him on a place where he can win some games. Hey, somebody tweeted at me asking if I think that Zion Williamson is the best freshman ever. You got to remember, Carmelo Anthony won a title, and so did Purvis Ellison as freshman. But nobody's like this kid.
Kevin Durant and Michael Beasley also had great freshman seasons. I don't know what the stats are in comparison, but obviously those two didn't go to Duke either, so they didn't have that.
What was Durant's NCAA tournament? Was he one and done, or did he win a game or so?
I'm sure. I don't know.
Yeah, but he was – he scored like 25, 26?
Yeah, he averaged a double-double, I think.
Yeah. Even higher than that is freshman year Texas. Now, I do want to say this too, though. Kareem and Bill Walton didn't play varsity basketball as a freshman. That was the rule. Kareem is the best college player of all time. Three national titles and three Player of the Year awards. End of discussion. Now, Maravich is the greatest scorer of all time, but Kareem is the best college player of all time. And Walton, at his best, which was right here in St. Louis, 21-22 at the Checker Dome in the finals against Memphis State. Well, there was nobody better, not even Kareem. But Walton didn't win his senior year, so Kareem is considered, and he should be, the best college player of all time. But that Walton back then, all you get is look at tape. Just watch him. Brackets, we'll get into this a little bit more heavily in the week. I keep looking for somebody who could beat Virginia. And you know who could make it interesting is Kansas State and our friend Bruce Weber, who also like to play a little bit more deliberate. Who does Kansas lose to in their scandal-ridden season? What about Auburn in round two? What do you think there? Marquette and Murray, Brian. Battle of the guards. Is Howard too hurt to stay with Mr. Morant?
I don't think. I know that the committee says they don't put matchups based on, say, TV viewership or what might drive the biggest audience. But I guarantee you when they did their math and put through their algorithms and seeded all the teams, when they saw among the fives Marquette and among the 12s Murray State, that immediately those two were paired together for that matchup.
The one guy's had three 45-point games.
Yeah.
And then Morant, who may be the most exciting thing we've seen in years.
See, I have K-State going deep, so I think I do have K-State.
Really?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Bruce Weber, my boy, man. I love him.
Nice run last year. Yep. All right. I'm glad to see you're a Weber guy.
No, of course.
Oh, Brian.
Dean Wade? I need to know where Wade is.
Did we contact him? Are we trying to get
Bruce? We're trying for him,
okay,
yes.
Okay, yeah. I bet he'll do it for us. All right, those are some of our thoughts. Let's hear some of yours. Are you bullish on the future of the Blues? Did you watch the Billikens make it to the NCAA tourney? How much do you like their future with Yuri Collins and Terrence Hargrove Jr. having big weekends? And the brackets. Who's going out quick? Who wins and why? We'll take a short time out. We'll be right back.